Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. Amen. Happy Easter. He is risen. Amen, amen, amen. What a beautiful morning, exciting morning. Hey, I've got to tell you, I've heard a special event happened already this morning. Mark and Alan Doctor were having breakfast, and Alan decided to spoil Mark and said, "Honey, you can have whatever you want for breakfast this morning." He thought for a little while, and he said, "I want Cheerios." "Yeah, what?" And Ellen was a little nonplussed, but you know, whatever. And so she brought the cereal, poured the milk in there, and the Cheerios started leaping and dancing and squirreling and carrying on. And Ellen was just staring at this and on. She says, "Mark, that's amazing." And he says, "I don't know, I've seen better cereal numbers." Thank you and amen. God bless you all on this beautiful morning. We're celebrating all of the joy of the risen Christ. We want to know if there's any announcements, anything we need to know by way of getting organized. And one of those is that this is Noisy Sunday. We haven't done that in since before COVID. But on the fifth Sundays, we had always had a time that the kids would have little buckets and go around, and you dump your change in the buckets and the kids shake it and make a noise, and the money goes to missions. So just a heads up and a warning, if you need to hunt and peck and find your coins, and like me, I completely forgot them, but I did buy some from someone else. So anyway, just to be warned, forewarned, that Noisy Sunday offering returning after a five-year hiatus. When was COVID? 20. See, so it's been a while. All right. Other things. What other things do we need to know by way of announcements? Debbie Gunther, can you tell us anything about what we have accomplished or what we're up against? Debbie is our mission chairperson and keeps the church focused on mission, which is what we're about. Amen?
Amen. I haven't heard from the last crop fundraiser, but the next one will be April 16th at the Great Greek Mediterranean Grill on Potomac and Colfax. Thank you.
All right. All you have to do is go there and eat, and they will donate a portion of the proceeds to go to missions. So a great way to be about missions. Other announcements for the good of the order? Oh, what? Joseph, thank you.
Yes. My son, basically, it's my brother's child. Has just been diagnosed with leukemia.
Joe, I can barely hear you. Yeah, real
close. I said my brother's child has just been diagnosed with leukemia, and he's about 30 years of age right now, and pretty young.
Tell me the child's first name.
Ryan. Excuse me. Ryan.
Brian.
Ryan. Yes, with an R.
Ryan. With okay. Ryan diagnosed with leukemia. Okay, so for prayer concerns. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Be aware of that. We might feel a little imbalanced. Usually the Tongans are sitting on this side of the congregation, but this morning Nalu is preaching at First Church, and they went over to support him. So God is good wherever, and we're celebrating some more celebrations of Easter all over the place and in different places. Other things for the good of the order. What else do we need to make sure that we're aware of as we prepare for this beautiful morning? We'll Connor. Do birthdays in a minute, Connor, if that's what this is. Okay, hang on.
No, you're good.
We're going to wait, Mikey. I know what he's thinking here.
That's right.
I remembered, Connor. So we think we're in track there. All right. I don't see anything else about the business end of things as we begin this week, but it is time to turn ourselves to worship. So if you would be so kind as to stand, wave hello to one another, and let Debbie lead us into the call to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We celebrate good news. Our Lord Jesus Christ has risen. He is risen. Risen indeed. Come, let us join in music, prayer, and in scripture. Let us join in worship, celebrating Jesus Christ our Lord on this blessed Easter morning. And then if you'll remain standing and turn to number 302 in your hymnal for the first hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, or of course it's on the screen.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Earth and heaven and chorus say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply.
Seated, if you couldn't hear me the first time. Our first reading is from the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 10, verses 37 to 43. If you want to look in your pew Bible, it's page 121, starts there. And these are Peter's words to the people gathered with Cornelius in Caesarea. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
I invite the ensemble forward. Thank you, you able-voiced ones, gifted and blessed. By way of our prayer time, we want to lift the prayers on the back of the bulletin as you see them, and remember and be aware that There are places that do not seem Easter-like and peace-like, and so we want to pray. As people of peace, the Prince of Peace, we turn and pray. We lift, as you heard Joe talking about his brother's child, Ryan. So we lift Ryan. We lift the people of Baltimore, a bridge collapse, the 6 men killed. Just hardworking folks working in the middle of the night. What a tragedy. And now a city in turmoil and an economy. But there are other greater things in the world as well. So there's a lot of hurt. Do you have other concerns that you'd like to lift this morning? It is Easter morning, but it is still the family of God. I don't see any. God grant that we indeed are celebrating and are doing well. Michael, would you give the microphone to Connor? We got it, because we know, and I forgot this before, but Monday something important is happening.
So just to remind everybody, Monday, tomorrow, April 1st, Barbara Stevens will be 89.
April Fool. Happy birthday, happy birthday. And I didn't forget it last week. I just hadn't gotten to that week. Yeah, never mind. And Friday, Rick Ottenreit having a birthday. I don't know which one of these is his, but Rick and Carol are Pacific Northwest. We lift them, and they're going to experience flooding. So isn't nature amazing? I have down here somebody the name of Malachi Armstrong. Is there anybody named Malachi anywhere around here? I think he just went that away. Malachi, where are you, buddy? Now he's being shy. That'll be the only time during the service. He doesn't have to come in. Let him go. That's fine. He's going to be 3. Does it show? Prayers for the Armstrongs. God bless them. Beautiful children. Beautiful. We love kiddos. We love them all. In April, we have other birthdays coming up. I don't want to get too far into those, but well, we get into a bunch of them in the next week, so you guys that are doing celebrating, you know, suck it all up this week before next week comes. Any other celebrations we want to lift? Birthdays or celebrations or special things going on? Anything else? Everybody's being so quiet. Helen pointed out to me, what was it that was making all the noise out there out front, the colored thing in the grass? What was it blossoming, Helen? The what? I can't. Daffodils. You know, it's gray right here. The daffodil. They're beautiful, and there's some other beautiful stuff going on out there. I knew it. You told me, and it just meant that's near the her. So celebrate all those good growing things, all those beautiful things. And yet, if you haven't looked, God has been watering the mountains. Amen. Well, the drought may be held off a little bit. So we are there. Anything else by way of celebrations on this beautiful morning? All right, let's turn to our unison prayer and read responsively. Lord God, hear our prayers. Lord God, we give you thanks for your unfailing attention to our needs and our concerns. We know that you have heard our prayers raised aloud, as well as the private prayers from close to our hearts. Lord, we humbly ask that you hear now your people gathered in worship. Hear your people giving thanks for all that we receive from you each minute. Guide us and inspire us, Lord. Show us the works you have called us. Guide us to be faithful. Guide us to love. Amen. I invite you to a silent moment of prayer and meditation. Loving Lord God, as we come before you on this beautiful Easter morning, we reflect on the joy of this high holy day, the triumph of Christ over death, and the gift of the resurrection. We have been journeying through Lent. We have been 40 days in the wilderness, facing our temptations, challenging ourselves, learning, growing, and finding ways to grow closer to you. And as we have been humble in these days coming forward, we have been brimming with that which would come Easter morning. Lord God, let us be aware always that as we are in your blessing and in your family, that we journey to Easter, but we journey through the cross. Christ's life and passion, death and resurrection, those are part of our journey. And in our journey as well, there might be life and death and life again. There might be those struggles, those painful nights, those prayers at Gethsemane. But come each, there will be Easter. And this morning we celebrate that day. Today's a special day, Lord. In most of our households, it is a day of family and gathering, and in our gatherings, a time to remember those who are not present, those who have gone on to the hereafter, who are at peace in the arms of our Lord. We lift them. We celebrate them. We smile at their gifts with us, even as we miss them, and know that by and by we shall all be together again. Lord, be with us here, that on this earth we are about doing your will and offering the joy and celebration of Christ alive. Be with us, Lord. Guide us and inspire us, and hear the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think I hear noises in the back that might indicate that this is indeed time for our noisy offering. Helen, turn the lights up so the kids can see what they're doing. And Stephanie, bring them on in here. They're being all shy now. You wait, that won't last. That's right. Shake it and make some noise with those cans. Grace. Don't you feel a lot lighter? You know, it's kind of funny. We don't have a lot of change in this modern credit card era. But I'll tell you, if there's any in any pockets, these guys are going to get it, aren't they? They're definitely doing a... All right. Are we bringing them all up front, Stephanie, if that's what happened, or are we going back and back, or what are we? I think you're going. All right. Thank you all. Barbara has an offertory. Thank you.
It's our custom to stand for the gospel reading, so please stand if you're able. And today's gospel is from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. And in your pew Bible, it starts on page 51. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, now I know why Stephanie kept the kids back there. Now she's going to bring them all back in again. See, she had a plan that she didn't know about. This is our action song with the kiddos. If you're able to get your aerobics this morning, come on, kids. I don't see any energy involved with these at all. I don't think I could do that when I was your age, sir. All you big kids and you little kids, come on down. Anybody that wants to join them, dance in spirits. Sit down, everybody sit down. Me too. Noisy Sunday. Barbara, have you done Noisy Sunday with us ever before? I don't know that. other churches, but I don't think you'd ever experience that wildness here. You're doing all right. I mean, I don't. No, how did that fit for having a noisy Sunday on Easter? I mean, all things considered, noisy Easter is not the noisy church event that some of the other events. Look at Christmas. I mean, Christmas, there's a lot of music and song and celebrations and, I mean, decorations, and it's pretty wild stuff going on there. And Palm Sunday, the Palm Parade that's a celebration, and the people shouting Hosanna and palm fronds and cloaks on the path for Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful celebration and a lot of noise. But on Easter, well, they go to the tomb and they're pretty surprised. He's not there. He's risen. And different versions of the Gospels, they go and the women go and tell the men, and the men just think it's an idle tale. I don't believe. That happens. It's still happening today. But there's no celebration on Easter morning. What's wrong with that? Is that the way it should be? I mean, I don't know. I got to thinking about it. We were putting the bulletins together and everything, and I called up Barbara. I said, Barbara, what's the most inspirational Easter music we can sing and do? And we talked and went on and whatever, we sang Hosanna. Wasn't that wonderful? And the choir, the ensemble, hallelujahs, and so we did some of those, but not quite as many. And I thought about it, and for me, music is a conduit for deeply emotional things. I can listen to a piece of music and I'm just in tears. I don't know if that's true for you, and I don't know if it's true for our modern age that includes a video and the audio and movements and merchandise, and I don't know. I hope so. Kind of a funny aside. I'm going to date myself, but there's this group by the name of Queen. You might have heard of them. When I was in high school, they were pretty hard rock, and I didn't follow them real closely, but I was driving one night, and I heard this song come on the radio. It was called Bohemian Rhapsody. And I was so astonished. I mean, the radio station was a rock station, but I was so astonished, I pulled off to the side of the road and sat there and listened to it. I thought, what is this? Did I switch channels? It was that inspirational to me at that time. I remember distinctly, that's a true story. Then life went on, and my daughter's growing up, and Sarah came up to me one day. She said she was in high school, and she said, Dad, you've got to hear this great song I just heard, Bohemian Rhapsody. It wasn't nearly as cool to her once she found out that I already knew it and had come out when I was in high school. But music is like that to me. I don't know if it is still the case today, but I would like to have the Messiah, the Hallelujah chorus. You know, the whole Messiah I've never seen, and I understand it's quite complex, and unless you know your Bible well, you get lost pretty easily, but the Hallelujah chorus is incredible. And you hear that, and I think, that's what we should do this morning. But like 99% of all churches, Christian churches, we don't have a full orchestra and a full choir and, you know, all of the things going on there. So we can't quite do that. We could do it on a video. And we saw that this morning. We could have watched that video, and it would have been entertaining. But when the kids are up here doing it with it, that's different. There's something live happening. Something in us says that something on a video or whatever is, well, we know it's the video, it's mechanically reproduced. It's not the same somehow. It's not real. Christ's resurrection is real. That's an interesting part. Christ's death on the cross was real. And his alive again, that's real. And the gift to us is real. It is incomprehensible, but it's real. A lot of people just can't figure it out and can't believe it. And it is pretty amazing. I'm going to jump a little here and ask, do you ever wonder what Christ wrote down? The only memory we have, scriptural, is when he wrote in the sand in his finger. That's about all. He was literate. I mean, remember him teaching in the temples? How could a man, you know, how he knows all the scriptures? He was well-educated, literate, so he could have written out a beautiful treatise for us. But he didn't write anything. All we have in the Gospels are the accounts of the people that he touched, which is pretty darn impressive. And through those, God is speaking to us, no doubt. But I wonder if one of the reasons Jesus didn't write things down is because he didn't need to transmit them in words and sentences. One of the things that has been a surprise to me and a growing edge, I just started ministry recently, 1990, I think it was. So I'm just getting going. I'm just getting my feet wet. But one of the things I've discovered is, especially if you read an annotated Bible, they'll have these little marks at the bottom and little footnotes and things and say, well, some scriptures include this and some omit this and some say it says this. I love it when you get into Psalms and it says, the meaning of this passage is very confusing. They just can't quite figure it out. I mean, the time has passed enough that they don't get the analogy. They don't understand what it means today, and so they have to kind of note that. And I think the textual words can not only become confusing, by the time we get into translations, even more confusing, but they can also be challenged. You know, you make a rule. I thought I'd be a great parent. I had a set of rules to do everything, and it did not work out well. Because you write down a rule or you have a rule, and then you've got to figure out, well, there are exceptions, you know. So how do you work? Good example, one of the rules is Jesus said, love your neighbor. Actually, it's in the Old Testament. It's straightforward. It's clear. It's there, and nobody debates that it's very much the center of who and what we're supposed to be. But then some people said, well, okay, but who's my neighbor? I don't have to love them, do I? You know, those ones I don't want to love. The neighbor on the one side, I love those guys, but those guys next door, they listen to rock and roll. Who knows? For whatever reason, we determine somebody that we don't want to love, and so maybe they're not our neighbor. And one of them asked Jesus that question. Well, Lord, who is my neighbor? And he told them the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, you've heard of Good Samaritans, haven't you? Tell you a true story. This happened on, was it Saturday? It was Saturday, just Saturday. Holy Saturday, the couch. These two old folks from this church here decided to, somebody had left us a couch, donated us an old couch, been sitting there for a month. People figure they can just dump it in the parking lot and we'll get rid of it. But these two old, worn down, gray-haired church members decide to go get rid of it. And so I said to Rich, these two guys said to each other, let's just tie it to the back of your truck and we'll pull it back in the back at least so it's out of view. And we were figuring on how to do that and we're pulling over. This pickup truck just drives in and this gal and this guy hop out and they said, we're going to help these fellas. And you know, not only did they say, well, we'll help move it, they had a bigger truck and they threw it in the back. They hauled it up. We got a bigger dumpster, they said. I looked at Rich and he looked at me and I said, Grace, wow, that's impressive. They were driving by and the guy had said to the gal, he said, we're going to go help those men. Talk about a holy Saturday. Things like that happen a lot more than we realize and remember and acknowledge. Put that in the front of your mind the next time you put on the evening news and think everything's bad. Remember, a lot of good things happen. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So the law, love thy neighbor, you can start debating that and start pushing the edges of it. But God had that in mind anew, and so he said, I'm going to write my laws on your hearts. Write them right on your hearts. You know them. Through this Holy Spirit that is going to come down, Pentecost is coming, but it came last year, so we can use that. But the Pentecostal Spirit coming down, giving you and infusing in us the knowledge and the awareness that the laws of God of love are there, and they're in the middle with us. Peter is talking. Debbie did a good job of introducing that. He's with Cornelius, with the people of Caesarea Philippi. And he tells the whole story. He tells the biblical story, the good news. He shares all of what has happened and who's why we're here and what we're about. And it's a beautiful encompassing of what Easter is the culmination of. And we celebrate that. And it's the good news. And I wonder why Hollywood hasn't made a movie of that. This morning, a couple family came in and said they had watched the Ten Commandments last night or the night this weekend, whatever. Good movie, made in, what, 59? How come we haven't made a new one every year? But, you know, they talk about high cinematic moments. The Easter morning isn't one. Now, the birth of Jesus, that's amazing. The shepherds in the field and the heavenly host opens up. Boy, I can see choirs and angels and computer-generated graphics. And talk about an amazing scene. But Easter morning's different. It reminds me of this fellow Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament. You remember him? He's sharing God's word, but people don't want to hear it. And in fact, he's feeling pretty lonely and pretty put upon, and he's on the run from getting in trouble. And he goes and he hides in a cave. God says, I'm going to appear before you, Elijah. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. An earthquake. I was going to shake the pulpit to make an earthquake, but it's too solid. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. That may be an oxymoron, but that's what the text says. Sheer silence. And then the voice of God came to Elijah and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That still, small voice, that spoke to Elijah. That spoke clearly, maybe from his heart where God had placed it. Amazing things that God has done. Amazing things that are going on. And shouting and carrying on may not be the way that God wants us to share them. Now, does that contradict what I've been saying about how music is something that moves me deeply and is the vehicle to bring things to people? I wonder if still small voice of God during the silence is God speaking to us. And we have to pause and listen. We have to slow down and stop and put everything aside. We have to put our smartphones away and our computers and our pagers. That's an old term, isn't it, now? Turn off everything, all of the noise around us. When I had a family with kids, that never happened. But we have to pause and listen for the still small voice of God. And then it is, I believe, that humanity responds to the blessing of God with that music and that sound and that celebration. Maybe that's the way that is to be. So this Easter morning, I don't know what you're doing after this, and I shouldn't have mentioned it because now all your thoughts are going, where are we going for lunch? Who's going to be there? What are we going to have? I'm getting hungry. Wish the preacher would hurry up. But on this Easter morning, pause a minute. Stop and listen. I can hear the fan from the organ. That air is ready to burst forth with song when Barbara directs it. And there's a few other noises. After a winter storm, the snow will slide off the roof and make big thunking noises in here. But we can pause and still find the silence. And we stop and we listen, and the Lord speaks to us. Because the words of the Lord are written on our hearts, and we know them and we can share them. And after listening, then we can pause, we can turn, and we can shout for joy, and we can say, He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up. Great is the Lord. 2022 in your hymnal, in your faith we sing, rather. Mark, get up here and lead us, please, my brother. Amen. Indeed, lifting up our voices and celebrating and lifting up from our hearts on this beautiful Easter, in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, share the love of God that is within you to the world in need of it. Amen. 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 Join hands. Let's sing our closing.
Go now and be.
And God's people said, amen.
Hallelujah.